Josh, hi. How you going, mate?
Hey, man. Sorry, I don't know what the hell was going on there.
Oh, it's technology. When it's your friend, it's great. And when it's not, you want to throw it over like a boat anchor. But, mate, thank you very much for taking the time today.
Yeah, my pleasure, man.
We're pretty bloody excited about this. Last time we spoke to you, we got the idea that it was going to be around March-ish, that we would see you back in Australia, but we didn't know you'd be teaming up with Nine Inch Nails. Was this something that was always on the cards, or was it something that kind of came about through circumstance?
Really, it just came about from circumstance. We were always going to come in March. We always wanted to tell our own story and play our own headline shows, and lo and behold, Nine Inch Nails became free to to do what they wanted to do too, and Trey and I start talking, and we just said, let's just flip flop headline and just let's go to Australia together, you know.
Jesus, that's one hell of a party.
I agree, and then Brody's got a new record coming out too, and she's playing as well, and it's just like, you know, I've been complaining in the last couple of years to friends that, you know, bands won't co-headline anymore because kind of the environment of the music scene, really, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And so I was really excited at the prospect of doing something like this because I feel like it's a real big, it's a bang for your buck, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's Nine Inch Nails we haven't seen for a while. It's been a few years since you guys were here, and then to get you on the one bill is, mate, that how long is it going to go for? That's what, it's going to be like a 3-hour show, surely.
Yeah, I mean, it's a co-headlining show. Both bands will play, do what they would do, and we'll flip-flop nights, you know?
Okay, cool.
So if we play two nights somewhere, then, you know, we'll just change, and then it'll just go back and forth, you know? And what is cool is that because we're friends, because we're, and because there's two bands that get along, but also whenever we play with someone and whenever they play with someone, we're always trying to, like, blow everybody away, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I feel like it's just going to be a cool fireworks show.
You know, I saw you collaborating, and as did the rest of the world, when you guys did Sound City. And, you know, it was you and Dave and Trent just sort of jamming away in a studio and working out music. What's it like to work with someone like Trent who just, I don't know, he seems like he just sort of oozes ideas. Are you constantly surprised by him?
Well, I think what I like most about Trent is the great communication level there, you know? He's one of those guys that when we're talking about whatever it is we're talking about, it's hard in life to be understood, and when you feel like you're having a situation when you can communicate with someone easily and you both understand each other, I think you sort of, you leap all these hurdles that would normally get in the way and you really get to the heart of an idea.
Mm.
You know?
Do you think do things come about more quickly when you work with someone like him then, because you both get it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the same when vultures were working together or working with anyone that, where they don't get hung up on something. And I think if you saw that Sound City vignette of us playing together, you'd see us going, you know, switching instruments and saying, I'm not married to this, don't worry about it.
Mm.
So it's not about, no one, everyone has a thick skin, and really the idea is to get to the core of something good, regardless of what part you play in that, you know?
It's a very envious thing. You watch it from the outset, and watching that movie was like, damn, I just want to be there now. I want to go and pick up an instrument. I want to, you know, I want to collaborate with my friends. A place like Sound City, is it really as homely as that, and working with your friends, did it bring the best out of you?
Well, I think one of the keys to having a great creative environment is to feel safe, you know?
Mm.
And hold on one second, sorry.
All right.
Oh, no thanks, we're good. Yeah.
Was that your girlfriend that had...
Yeah.
She said she wanted extra water and chocolate.
Oh, okay, here, I'll take that, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Just
getting some extra water. So I think what was great about Sound City is that it wasn't the priciest, sheeshiest place, and so it attracted people that were kind of really more there to work than anything.
Mm.
And it was more like a clubhouse, and it was way out in the middle of nowhere by a Budweiser plant, which if you went outside sometimes it stank, you know. And so you were out in the middle of nowhere, and I think that elimination of distraction is what made it such a great place.
Cool. Well, let's talk about like Clockwork for a minute here. I mean, we got animated teasers to begin with. We were all waiting with bated breath as to what this new album was going to sound like. And what was the reason behind just getting those little bits and pieces out there for people first?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I just, you know, I feel like this time in music is actually quite good because, sorry, someone's at the door again.
No worries, okay. Man.
Thank you. That's great. Okay, so, sorry, man.
That's all
just
good.
Going off all over the place.
All good.
So, well, the short story is I just want to make art, you know. I know that there's marketing and promotion and here we are on the phone and stuff, but I want to make more stuff. I want to be part of more stuff. I want to try to, if I'm going to go all the way to Australia, then I want to just try to blow everyone's mind or I don't want to go, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to work with artists like Boneface that people don't know, mm-hmm. you know? And, you know, one of the first things I said to him is, have you ever animated anything? He said, no. And I said, perfect. Let's do it.
Nice.
Because he doesn't have a massive rule book in his back pocket. He's just doing what he thinks is right.
Yeah.
And what he thinks is right is right. And I want to work with people like that. And you know, like we've always worked with this poster conglomerate or collective called Beyond the Pale. Mm-hmm. They're out of Melbourne. And they do all posters for us in all through Australia. And it's, I don't know, the more I can make something or be part of something like that, the more I enjoy myself, you know?
Yeah. Is that kind of why there's been such a huge procession of musos that worked on this album? I think it was like 16 at least on here, just to get the best art you can?
Well, that, you know, what would happen about collaborating with people is that this record became difficult to make. And it was nice to, having someone come over and collaborate was like a breath of fresh air,
mm-hmm.
breathing into the session, you know? And, you know, I'm in a blessed position where these are just my friends. I know it's Trent Reznor for you, but it's Trent for me. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's TR to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's Dave Grohl for you, but it's just Dave to me. And that's a blessed position to be in. But by the same token, all of those people that are involved, they all just want to do something and be inspired and have this kind of positive friction to try to create the fireworks that are worth looking at, you know?
Mm, for sure.
And I think it would be a real shame to be in that situation and not leave it all on the table.
Mm.
You know?
Can we talk about a couple of songs that we're playing at the moment, just so, because I'll get my ass kicked if we don't. I mean, I want to dive into other songs like Fair Weather Friends and Smooth Sailing, but we've got to touch on I Sat By The Ocean, the second single. It actually sounds like the title of the song. It sounds like you could be at a bar or on a beach in a remote location.
Yeah, there's something about driving up the coast. Somehow that song always had this thing. And, you know, it's a very real song. So it actually started by by sitting by the ocean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think really in writing this record, I didn't try to push any songs anywhere. I tried to be pulled by them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just let them be real. Let them do what they're supposed to do. And really sort of, you know, let them drag me behind the vehicle of the songs, you know. And I think it's what made it tough is that I felt a little out of control during a lot of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the mercy of the music. But that's how it goes this time.
Having said that about I Sat By The Ocean, My God Is The Sun is a real driving wall of sound. And that sort of seems like maybe was the melody for the chorus the first thing that came to you?
You know, that song just was almost like the little engine that could. We never considered that song a single. It was just, it was up-tempo, it was short, it was quick, and it was like, it's a very simple notion, you know,
mm-hmm.
of just sort of reflecting on where I'm from. And, you know, people worship all kinds of things, but there's only one thing that I know that's constant, and you certainly have a lot of it in Australia.
Yes, we certainly do. Now, I will talk about Smooth Sailing because it's my favourite on the album. It's this funky, for those that haven't heard it, it's like a funky, almost a Talking Heads kind of vibe to it. It's just, where did that song come from? This is personally indulgent for me.
Well, I that was one of the first songs that I had, and I had the melody, and it just didn't have the right lyrics, and so we kept putting it off, and it was this song that was supposed to, you know, the whole time we were like, yeah, this is for sure, but really it ended up being where it almost didn't make it on the record because it didn't have the words, and as we were working on this record month after month, you know, you start to get frustrated at some point where you're just like, God damn it, man, you know, where you almost don't care anymore, you know.
Mm.
And I think that nihilistic side of myself, you know, sometimes explodes, you know. And so all of a sudden,